Lord, we worship you, we praise you, glorify you, and magnify your name. Well, there is no one else like you. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He who was dead, but behold, you are alive and you live forevermore. King of kings, the Lord of lords, King of glory, Jesus. There is no one else like you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. And you're the one that stands up as my advocate. When the enemy comes against me with his accusations and with his railings, you're the one that steps in between. You're my advocate. And you say, this one is mine. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Father, just have your way in this place, Father. Have full freedom here to all day long. Do what you will. Do what you will, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory, all the honor in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. We'll be opening up to two places, John 10 and Acts 10. We want to continue, I believe, this morning on the mind of Christ. Now, if you were not here Wednesday night, now there is no condemnation. Thank God for tapes. Now, that tape is called the Mind of Christ 2. Say, well, what happened to the Mind of Christ 1? If you weren't here for that one, get that one too. But it's Wednesday night. In fact, I was... Yes, sir. Okay. I want to review just a little bit of it, even if you were here, to get our minds going back down a particular path. But he has something real, real strong, real simple, but not understanding this thing we're going to cover today. Before nightfall around the world, many Christians will die of many things and thinking it's God that did it. And we're not going to have the kind of revival he wants unless we get delivered from the mind of religion and receive the mind of Christ. So quick reviewing from Wednesday night. You don't have to turn here. Just make notes because we're not going to read the scriptures again. We started off in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 where it talks about all down through the ages, the natural eye of man, the natural ear, has never really seen or understood the things that God has for man. And he goes on to teach. He says, because the natural man has the spirit of the world on the inside of him. That's that fallen nature that comes from Adam that everybody is born with. Doesn't matter whether you're white, black, red, purple, or striped. You know, we're all descendants of Adam. Eve is the mother of all living. You're descended from there, and everybody receives that spirit of the world. And you can't comprehend, you cannot receive the things of God in that condition. By the way, that's why we have so many religions. The mind of man, without the Spirit of God, cannot receive the things that are of God. You have to have a new nature, and that's what that's talking about. And you have to have a teacher from the other realm, and his name is the Holy Ghost. In that few verses right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you can read them later or get the tape from Wednesday night. We went in detail. He says the natural man, he doesn't know the things of God. And he cannot receive the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. That's why Paul says there, he says, now that you've been born again, now we have received not the spirit which is of the world, not that fallen nature of Adam, but now we have received the new nature, the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Right there in the margin of your Bible, you could write inheritance. Spiritual inheritance. He says, the natural man, it's foolishness to him. No wonder all your friends think you're crazy. Your relatives think you're off the deep end. I gave some examples. I'll do one real quick because it was early on. I mean, Sue and I hadn't been saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, not even a year yet, I don't think. I know we weren't because we were still living in that first house. And one of my cousins, a younger one, was killed tragically. I mean, I think he might have been barely a teenager. Down in Shawnee, he was killed tragically in a tractor accident. We received the call. He'd been about it, you know. Well, something happens to you when you get born again and get baptized in the Holy Ghost. My first thought was, well, I'll start praying. I mean, we'll start praying. My first thought was God will raise him from the dead. Even though we're 100 miles away, I figure God can be anywhere, do anything, anytime. See, that's what happens to you. You start getting the mind of Christ. So this friend, this relative who's on the other end of the phone, I start to, hey, we'll pray. Y'all be ready. Have the doctors come. You know? And they're saying things like, well, this is what they actually said. He's been dead for 4 hours. And what I said back was immediately, Lazarus was dead for 4 days. What's 4 hours got to do with anything? And you know, there was a lot of silence on the other end of the phone. This person loves me more than anything. I mean, it was a person that really loves me, and I love that person. But it's obvious we're operating out of two different realms now. See? The natural mind. See, that's the thing. The person on the other end of the line is born again, but they've been taught by their church not to receive the Holy Spirit as their teacher. Okay? Okay, as far as I can go with that. Now, not only the denomination I was raised in, but most of the denominations, I'm listening, checking to make sure that was right, most denominations, not only in America but around the world, still yet today, teach a mixture of truth when it comes to healing. They'll teach, God, that's why they normally add that prayer, that statement at the end of the prayer, Father, we pray that you heal Uncle John or you heal little Susie, if it be thy will. Meaning they're not sure. Might be God's will not to heal. Well, and then sometimes it goes even further than that. They'll teach that God put that on you. Or let's say it, however they, I don't care what little niceties they put on it. He put it on you. He allowed it. He stepped out of the way and just said, have at. I don't care what words they use. The end result is, somehow this has God's approval. See, and if you love God, and if you think in any way God is endorsing that thing, you will not fight it. Now, I've told you many times, I've used this example about my Aunt Betty who had the brain tumor years ago. So I'm not going to teach that one again. Same example, I ran the first man that that they brought me to his house to pray for when I went to South Africa in 2003 was a man in the last stages of cancer. Real nice man, loved God with all his heart, been serving God for many years. Spoke English, and we sat there and fellowship for a little while. There were two or three other believers in the room. This man was, you know, he was close to death, you can tell. He can still talk, but boy, he's weak. On oxygen with tubes in his nose. And we're, you know, I mean, trying to build a little bit of rapport with the man. Found out he'd been saved a long time. Said, sir, I'd like to pray for you. Said, do you believe God can do anything? Oh, yes. God can do anything. Said, I'd like to pray for you that God would heal you. Even though he's so weak now, his first instinct, he put his hand up like this to stop me. He said, oh, no. No, he says, I've already put myself over in the hands of God. And if this cancer is the way that he's calling me home, then I'm not going to resist it. And I knew right then the man was going to die. The devil had come to kill him and he thought it was God. Why did he think that? He'd been taught it by his church. Now we're in a season of receiving the mind of Christ. We've already had one lesson where it says the whole world, the whole religious world was astonished at his doctrine. His doctrine was not the same as religion. And if we're going to walk in the kind of revival and the signs and wonders that he intends for us to walk in, I mean, we cannot be double-minded. What does the Bible say about the double-minded person? Let not that person think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. Now, you better know you're in a war. You're in a trenches, and there's an enemy set to kill you. And where the devil has the church in our mind, it's like, well, I'm not sure he's trying to kill me. Maybe I ought to get up and get out of the trench and go walk over there. He'll shoot you dead. He is trying to kill you, and you better know who your enemy is, and it's not God. So let's just get a few Bible verses. We're trying to get the mind of Christ here. Yes, sir. I'll tell you one other one, too. You won't let me quite go. A little review, because this is good for you. Some of you wasn't here. Get the tape anyway, because I'm not near covering everything that was on that tape. It's a good one. I don't care if I did do it. It's a good one. That's not pride. It's just truth. What's that old deal? It ain't lying if it's so. It ain't bragging if it's so. That's a good one. Now I'm telling you, you ought to get that one. All right. Wednesday night we got into the mind of Christ. We went to a scripture none of you's ever heard. Mark 11:23. And the devil's doing everything he can since the Lord received Dad Hagen home to discredit the word of faith. And he's getting a lot of help from greedy preachers too, by the way. And I'm sorry to say that, it's just the truth. So he's getting a lot of help discrediting the truth. But see, you're never going to discredit what Jesus said. Now, a lot of people can take it and use it and pervert it for their own uses and do wrong things. But you're not allowed to take Mark 11:23 out of your Bible. Y'all know what a Jefferson Bible is? You ever heard of a Jefferson Bible? They don't hardly print them anymore. Thomas Jefferson, it was a man, a good man, honorable man, strong and important in our history. But there were some verses he didn't like in the Bible. So he just took them out. A lot of them. And then had his own version printed, and that's called a Jefferson Bible. You're not allowed to do that. I'm sorry. I pray. I'm sure he's in heaven. I'm sure he found mercy and forgiveness for that. But man, that's dangerous stuff. And I don't care if... Yes, the whole body does need some correction on the error that... Some of the error that came with the extremities. Look at this lovely lady without her neck brace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Wednesday night she had it. I noticed today she does not. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lost my train of thought, but that's okay. Lord, help me get it back. Can't discredit. You can't take out Mark 11:23, where Jesus says, talk to the mountain. And everybody, what they want to do is they want to talk to God about their mountain. Nobody talks to the mountain. The world, as you start talking, if they find you having a conversation with the flu, they think you're weird. You're the one that has the mind of Christ. They're the one that's still operating out of a fallen mind. A natural mind that can't even receive the things. Now, see, you can be born again. I started to say this a while ago. That person that was telling me that about he's been dead 4 hours, that person's born again. But they've been trained to think in their mind like the world. And that's where the whole church is. Like my Aunt Betty, the friend in South Africa, he's thinking, well, this is God. All right, so let's get a few verses on this. Oh, yeah, okay. Man, he did it again. So he's not going to let me go there without this one thing. You need this. Jesus says, talk to your mountain. Tell it to go into the sea. Believe in your heart. Say with your mouth. And if you believe what you say will come to pass, you will have whatsoever you say. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Isn't that what Jesus said? So I just asked them a little question, and aren't you glad I'm not asking you? Boy, they got excited. I could tell they were getting excited. Good. Aren't you glad I'm not asking for a show of hands? And this was in an evening service, so they had all day. I said, how many of you spoke to your mountain, the most important thing in your life, the number one problem in your life? How many of you spoke directly to it today? It was as quiet then as it is now. And boy, I could tell he's glad I wasn't asking for no show of hands. Well, my debt is my mountain. Did Jesus hear you talking to it today? The sickness is my mountain. Did Jesus hear you talking to it today? I'm asking you today. What about yesterday? What about the day before that? What if I followed you around so you can't lie about it? Had a recorder. Why? And I said, and get this, Jesus, if he comes visit you, he's not going to sit down with you and look at the mountain with you and go, that really is a big mountain. That's a big mountain. I don't even know if my father can handle that mountain. And then Sue added this. She said, yeah, he might say to you, you know, my name might not be above that mountain. You think he's going to come fellowship with you on that level of unbelief? No, I'm getting more and more to understand why he would. You can tell he's upset. How is it? I'm not standing in front of Mark. How is it that you have no faith? Why can't you believe what I'm telling you? Here's in a nutshell, the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Repent and believe this. I know your whole life it's looked like cancer has authority over you and sickness has authority over you and poverty has authority over you and blindness has authority over you. I have good news. The kingdom of God has come. I've restored it to man. Now repent and believe this gospel. You take authority over that mountain. You talk to it. It'll obey you in my name. That's the gospel of the kingdom. I got saved. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And my life has been going down ever since. I can't even tell you the number of letters I get where that's basically the content. The trouble is, there's a long time I could have given you the same testimony. I'm not going to tell you how long either. Began finding out some truth, though. I got tired of living in survival mode. I don't have any mountains, Brother Gary. Oh, really? Normally what that means is you've got so accustomed to defeat and living in survival mode that you just think that's normal now. And the valley of the shadow of death has become your permanent home. And if I followed you around, getting a white hanky over here, if I followed you around for a week and listened to you, you'd be calling mountains normal. Because it's become that way to you. Boy, if you haven't found John 10 by now. And the reason I especially love John 10, if you thank God for the laws of meditation. Thank God for that tape series that Dave gave us. Meditation, imagery, and delivery again. We're not pushing it trying to sell tapes. We're pushing it trying to bring revival. You need to understand these things. See, here's revelation knowledge. John 10 comes after John 9. And what happened in John 9 has a lot to do with what Jesus is saying in John 10. Now again, in a nutshell, what happens? This is the man that was born blind that Jesus healed. And the Pharisee, the religious bunch of the day, they brought him in for questioning. And he just tells them plainly that he didn't know his, you know, he just tells them plainly that this man, he prayed and put mud on my eyes and once I was blind, that's where that statement comes from. Once I was blind, now I see. They brought in his parents. Make sure that this guy's telling the truth. It might be an imposter. Is this your son? Yes, this is our son. Was he born blind? Yes, he was born blind. And they knew how he was healed, but they were afraid of being excommunicated out of the temple. So they said, well, tell us about this. And he says, he's a full age. Let him tell you. And he did tell them, bless God. And he got a little snappy with him. I thank God for a little snappy. He says, you want me to tell you again? I've already told you once. What, are you wanting to become his disciples too? And right there, they threw him out of the church. Now, that's John chapter 9. Now, John chapter 10, Jesus finds the man. Says, they may be able to cast you out of the church, but no man can cast you out of my Father's hand. Do you believe in the Messiah? Yes, Lord, tell me who he is. Tell me who he is and I'll believe. He that's speaking to you is him. No man can cast you out of my Father's hand. I've got you, boy. I healed you now. I'm going to keep you forever. They may throw you out of the church. People, they may throw you out of their church. You receive the left foot of fellowship, as Dad Hagin used to say, from amongst them. That's all right. It's all right. No man can snatch you out of your Father's hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have got to get the mind of Christ. We've got to know what we know and understand we're in a war, and it's take no prisoners. All we want is to set the captives free. They're already prisoners. And that's what we've got to know. So in that light of talking about the blind man is when we come now to John 10. All right, so let's pick it up here. Hallelujah. I'm still in John 9. No wonder I can't find it. Hallelujah. Okay. This parable, starting in verse 6. There's so much here, but we've only got an hour. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, still trying to get it across to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now here's that famous verse. And the church has yet to understand it. When I say the church, I know you understand it pretty well. But I'm talking about the universal church, the true church of the living God. If we're going to operate in revival, we have to know what this means. And he's talking, in this case, it was blindness. Okay? The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, of course he's talking about the new birth. Even those denominations, the one I grew up in, they've got that part right. Thank God they do. A lot of churches don't even have that anymore. Thank God they still got the new birth correct, preaching the blood, preaching the cross, and preaching the new birth. But what about the man born blind? Oh, that's all passed away. Or that might be God put that on you. Or he at least allowed it to humble you and teach you. Or on and on and on we can go. All right? Let me read it again. You don't have to say it. Now get this. I hope you pinch now. Acts chapter 10. We're going to go right over to Acts 10. Pinch. You can tell I'm from Pottawatomie County. John 10:10. Why does the thief come? Steal, kill, and to destroy. And in the context here, blindness. Blindness would be one of the things, for sure. He just got through healing a man of blindness. The man was born. Let's go a little farther. The man was born blind. What do we call that? Birth defect. Hardly anybody preaches that the name of Jesus is above birth defects. Oh, that's... You know, no, the name of Jesus is above birth defects. I don't care if they're born blind, another one was the man at the gate, beautiful, he was born lame from his mother's womb. Never walked. And in an instant, he was leaping and jumping and shouting for joy. We've got to get the mind of Christ, church, if we're going to walk in revival, which we are. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. Now, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. What does the devil do? Jesus compared him to a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of God. Is that what it says?
No.
All who were oppressed of the devil. Blind, okay, let's just get a few examples. Go over to Matthew 8. Just get a few examples. So we start getting our mind on straight. I'm tired of having my mind on crooked. You know, religion, only religion can make human beings this dumb. And I'm sorry, but it's like the denomination. I'm not sorry, really. I'm sorry they get hurt by it, but I hope they get hurt enough, get mad, and find out the truth. I don't care. Well, how dumb can you be and still breathe? That tumor in your brain, that might be God, but tongues is of the devil. There's whole denominations, not just the one I grew up in. There's a lot of them that teach that very thing. Turn the truth right up on its ear. Turn it completely upside down. Oh, we can't pray for that tumor. That might be God. Oh, but we're not going to receive the Holy Spirit and begin speaking in other tongues. That's of the devil. My, I have to wonder what Jesus thinks, you know. You just take the truth and turn it completely on its head. Completely backwards. And, you know, you stay there for 50 years, you get trained 50 years in backwards truth. Backwards truth. That'd be called lies. It's harsh, isn't it? No wonder they get so mad at me. I can see the spittle landing on my shirt, you know. Get angry. And the thing of it is, they love God. That man that I prayed, it was so sad. My heart, I wish I was at the place where I could, I know Jesus was in the room. I wish I could have seen him. I wish I could have talked with him. I said, Jesus, is there anything I can do? Again, I'm reminded of Norval Hayes and his mother. She died when he was a youngster. Died of cancer, it's my understanding. And the doctrine where Norval grew up, he basically thought either God did it. In fact, the way Norval said it on the tapes, I'll just repeat it exactly. I can do it like it was yesterday, like I heard it yesterday. He said, later on when he got older and was born again himself and had a relationship with the Lord, one time he was in fellowship with the Lord, and he says, Jesus, why did you take my mother with cancer? Now, that's the way he says it on the tape. Why did you take my mother with cancer? So you know what he was taught. Why did you take my mother with cancer when I was just a little boy? I needed my mother, Jesus. I don't understand. Why did you take my mother with cancer? So he was asking that and went on and on. And finally, this is a great day when you start hearing back. Glory to God. He finally started hearing back. And the Lord told him plain. He says, I did not take your mother with cancer. Neither did I have anything to do with it. Man, that stunned him. So he says, well, Lord, if it wasn't you, what caused her to die of cancer? I mean, she loved you, Jesus. She was one of those shouting Baptists. I mean, she was happy and served you, and she was always the first one at the church to do anything and help people and just give them the clothes off her back. She loved you, Jesus. How did that happen then? And boy, here comes the answer. A lot of people don't like it, but it's the truth anyhow. It says, your mother died of cancer because she went to the wrong church. She went to the wrong church. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And they never put any faith in her that I was her healer. She had no faith to fight that cancer with. You say, boy, that was really sad for Norval. It's sad on June 4th, 2006, that before the sun sets today, how many wonderful, God-loving men and women, like the man I prayed for in South Africa, are going to close their eyes in death thinking that it's God, some kind of sickness or disease, thinking that it's either God directly or at least Him allowing it, that somehow He endorses it. And how many of us are ineffective when we pray because we're still. There's just a little bit somewhere down there. We don't ever say it, but way down below where we talk, there's still something down there that says, well, just maybe. Because we've been demonically trained in a fallen world. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Say it. Of the devil. For God was with him. Now let's just take a few examples in Matthew 8. Let's see. Matthew 8. We can just pick it here. First one starts off with leprosy. Maybe leprosy is of God. You can't pray for leprosy. Leprosy might be God's will. And this is the only time in the whole New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where anybody says, I know. This is once and for all, forever, Jesus answered the question, if it be thy will. Right here he did it. Now watch this. It says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, now here it is, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, which was against the law of Moses, by the way, reached out his hand and touched him, saying, I will. What does Jesus say? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So what's the Jesus never did anything that wasn't the will of the Father. If you want to see the Father, you look at Jesus. Jesus is the will of the Father in action. Not just, he didn't come to just tell us. He says, I come to tell you and show you. You want to see the Father's will regarding leprosy? I will. Immediately reach forth his hand and touched him. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So let's see now. We can start checking them off. Well, one thing's for sure. Leprosy is one of those works of the devil. Leprosy is one of those things that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost and with power to go about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, apparently. Leprosy's not from God. This is revelation knowledge. Leprosy's not from God. Well, there's one. All right. Well, leprosy's not real common today. Let's see. Verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of what? Oh, now palsy might be from God. Now, I could go on here. It's going to take too long. You know what happens. What happens? Jesus speaks the word only and the man gets healed. So now we have two, don't we? Ah, leprosy is of the devil. Palsy is of the devil. We can scratch those two off. We could come on down, on and on and on here. Come on down to chapter 9. Oh, wait a minute. No. How about, verse 14. Everyone can relate with this one. Matthew 8:14. When Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw the mother's... See, I don't too often get prayer requests these days for leprosy. And I don't too often get prayer requests for palsy, although some. That could happen. But how about this one? When Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever we know something about. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. If it was of God, it wouldn't have. Do you understand that? Ah. Leprosy. Palsy. Fever. And the fever left her. Oh, how about verse 16? It's not just sickness. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with what? Devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. No, that must not be quite right. He healed the ones that God didn't make sick. He healed the ones that it was only the Father's will to heal, because it wasn't the Father's will to heal all. Now see, right now it seems so ludicrous. The next time that something attacks your body, or the next time it's your turn to pray, you're going to have it straight or not in your head. You're in a war. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Here recently the Lord made a statement to me that I'm still chewing on. There'll be more on this later. But then meditating on this whole kingdom, how God originally extended His rule from He already lived in a realm that we call heaven. We call that an invisible realm. We can't see heaven. But He wanted to create what we call a visible realm, this realm, the universe we live in, and He wanted to extend His kingdom into this realm. And He chose sovereignly how to do it. He wanted to do it through human beings that had His nature on the inside and had the Holy Spirit's anointing on the outside. That's how He wanted to do it. And He gave man dominion over all the works of His hands, did He not? We read in Psalms where it says, "The heaven is the Lord's, but earth has He given to the sons of men." All right, that was God's original plan. And here's the statement the Lord made to me recently. He says, "You know, there wasn't any sickness in the garden. There was no death in the garden. There was none of this palsy, leprosy, women with issue of blood, nothing else. There was nothing like that in the garden. If God's original plan for man was to have dominion over the works of God's hands, how much more does He intend we have dominion over anything that sin and death brought into the world? How much more do we have a dominion over anything that the devil brought in through sin and death?" No wonder it says how God anointed the believers at Tulsa with the Holy... Doesn't it say that in your Bible? How God anointed... It does in mine, because Jesus said, "The works that I do shall you believers in Tulsa do also. And greater than these shall you do, because I go in." So I'm pretty sure mine says, if I put that together, it says, how God anointed the believers of Tulsa, the believers in Tulsa, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went all around their city doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God is with us. What's it going to take, church, to get our mind renewed? Who God is. I mean, it's one of the first verses you ever learned. I learned it way back in Sunday school. They didn't have a clue what it meant, really. John 10:10. "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Glory to God. Now, yes, sir. How far do we have to go with our renewing of the mind? Go to Matthew. You're in Matthew. Go to Matthew 14. Real familiar verse. Now, in a good way, look to your neighbor and say, "You're not normal." Thank God for that. Thank God we're not normal. We're not natural people anymore. Our spirit has already been reborn instantly with that nature of God. And it's growing every day more and more into maturity. But our mind is in the process of renewal. We're going to get a little mind renewal now. Okay? And as that mind renewal takes place, you are less and less conformed to this world. And that's why they say you're not normal. And we say, "Thank God. Thank you. I never had such a high compliment." Oh, thank you that I'm not normal. Thank you. Thank you that I'm not normal to the world. Thank you that I'm only normal in heaven. I have the mind of Christ. Now let's look at the mind of Christ for a minute. How far is it going to go, people? You think, "Well, I'm pretty doggone renewed. I am. I tell you what, I'm ready for prime time. Where is my ministry?" In fact, I've just been tolerating that Dave, you know, and that Gary for a while, and really I'm ready for the prime time myself. Now let's just get on with it. And that's okay. Hey, I hope you are. I hope you, Dave originally says, "Show me your dust." You remember how many say that? And then a few did, and he said, "I didn't mean it." No. You know, the Brazilian guy down, the fisherman, he calls him down in Brazil, it got so many miracles, but really, you know, then he says, "Oh, really, I'm glad." And he means it. We should show, he wants us to show our dust. But see, there's a big difference in the real showing the dust and thinking you're ready. You know, pride cometh before something. What was that pride? A fall. Let's have a little reality check to see where we really are. renewed to the mind of Christ. Matthew 14, we'll just pick this up here in verse 22. Real familiar passage. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, Jesus prayed. Isn't that something? Anyway, we're going. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Do y'all ever feel like your ship is in the midst of the sea? Tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Say, yes, Brother Gary, that is my whole life. Ever since I got saved. They say that the evidence of getting baptized in the Holy Ghost is speaking with other tongues. And really, it's okay. I'll go along with that. But really, from our experience, the evidence of getting baptized in the Holy Ghost is all hell broke loose in your life. Suddenly you're a threat. Suddenly you're a threat. You're a potential threat. So all hell comes. And that's what Jesus meant. Mark 4, he says, the cares of this world, persecutions, afflictions. The devil doesn't care if he can stop you with trouble or if he can bribe you away from the gospel. Deceitfulness of riches and the lust of you young women, the devil will bid high for you. The world will bid high for you. You got to watch that. You young men, trust me, I'm speaking at the age almost 60 now. 30 years can pass in a blink of an eye, and you wonder, what happened to my life? I'm getting it's amazing, isn't it? I look around at my kids. They're all grown up, got their own kids. And I go, how did that happen? I don't understand how that happened. I turned around twice and they were in their 30s. I don't know how that happened. Yeah, the waves come, the wind gets contrary, doesn't it? Persecution, affliction, the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. All that is designed for one reason. Choke the word out of you. Make you think you're just... Make you think that the kingdom has not come and that you do not have dominion. Well, say it out loud with me. I have the mind of Christ. Every day, my mind is being renewed and progressively more and more. I think like Jesus. Hallelujah. See, that's having the mind of Christ. Well, let's look at his mind here again. Verse 24 again. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, well, Jesus just went unto him, walking on the sea. I'm pausing for a reason. How often does that thought come to you? Well, I'll just walk on the sea. Sure. Yeah, that's a way to get there. There's no boats. I need to be over on the other side. Father, what should I do? Walk on the sea? Sure. And here you go. And by the way, the sea wasn't calm for him either. Now, it's really important. Come on down to verse 32. I want you to see this. After Peter's thing, you know what's about to happen. But look at verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Meaning, during this whole episode that we're about to read here, the wind is still contrary. So let's picture the sea. Big waves billowing up and down. Any of y'all ever see The Perfect Storm? And that ship trying to make it up that big wave, boy. And it couldn't make it. Now, I don't think this sea is that big, but it's big. So here we've got big giant waves, and it's rolling. The Holy Ghost has never shown me a picture yet. Was it only still where was it still where Jesus was walking, and contrary all around, or was Jesus walking up and down these big old billowing waves? I don't know, but I do know the wind was contrary, and here Jesus is still going. Father, how do I get to the other side? Oh, walk? Sure. So he's walking to the other side. I know the wind is contrary. All right? Well, that right there messes with your mind a little, doesn't it? Shows me a little bit that I probably would have a little trouble receiving that instruction from heaven at this present moment. Say it with me. But every day, more and more, my mind is being renewed to think like Jesus. All things are possible. No matter what the world says. No matter what physics say. I belong to another kingdom. The physics of this world do not limit me. I operate by the physics of the kingdom of heaven. And there, all things are possible. Now watch this. So he was walking to... verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, it messed with them. They were troubled, going, it's a spirit. It's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Thank God for Peter. Don't you love Peter? And Peter answered him. You know, in other words, Peter didn't shout out like, I don't believe you. I don't know if that's you. I heard you say it's you, but I don't know if it's you. That's what's going on here. And so, because he says, if it is you, what does that mean? I'm not sure it is you. So that lets me know, because I have thoughts like that. Was it God? Did God really tell me to send everything away free? Sue, did he say send everything away free? Surely he didn't say mail everything for free. That wasn't God, was it? I'm not sure that was him. Surely he didn't say send everything free. Doesn't he know? We don't even know where our next meal is coming from. What is he talking about, send everything free? If that's you, you better talk to me again. That's the reason I relate to this. And he will. He'll reassure you. So Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto thee on the water. And then he says, come. God, you gotta love Peter. Now I want you to picture the boat. Now, those of you that are only got this by audio, I'm going up and down and up and down because the wind is contrary and the boat is listing to the left and the boat is listing to the right. Up and down. I got a pretty good feeling Jesus is not going up and down. I think where he is, it's probably steady. But where we are, and here's Peter hanging onto the boat, then up and down and up and to the... I couldn't have done this a year ago. My back wouldn't let me. But now I can go up and down and to the left and to the right. See, and here's Peter hanging onto the boat for dear life. And if Jesus is that you, bid me come. And you're, part of you's going, I hope I can hang on to this boat. And he's going, yeah, it's me, come. Oh God. Oh God. Give the man some credit. Can you imagine if the wind's boisterous and the waves blowing, when all hell is breaking loose in your life, and then right then Jesus asked you to do the impossible. How many of you can relate to what I'm saying? Right when the wind is contrary, you're hanging on for dear life. And he says, now come do the impossible with me. Soon as the wind quits, then I'll get out of the boat. Soon as all of our bills are paid, then we'll send everything free. Soon as I line up enough supporters with natural reasoning, then I'll obey you. And he goes, or you could just step out of the boat and depend on what I said to you and come to me. Where I am, my servant will be also. Come. Whew, good stuff. Give the man some credit. There he is. All hell's breaking loose in his life. Up and down, sideways and sideways. And he said, come. He wants us to go now. I mean, we're not even sure the electricity's going to stay on. And he's going, send everything free. Dear God, let me step out of the boat. Give the man some credit. He stepped out of the boat. and he didn't sink. But there's a real key here as to why he did not. Listen, whatever, that's why I tell people all the time, don't you step out of the boat. Don't you do what I did unless he tells you. The only part I want you to imitate is pray till you get your instructions to step out of the boat. How many people have written, they've tried to imitate what we did and fell flat on their face? You got to get your instructions from the Lord yourself. Peter stepped out of the boat, starts walking towards Jesus. I can't imagine. Yeah, I can. The Lord says, yeah, you can too. Hey, I just work here. I started to say, I can't imagine what that felt like when he took that first step out of the boat and he didn't sink. Can you imagine what would go through your mind right there? Are you ever going to be the same again? Is the realm of possibilities ever going to be the same again to you? What about when you get that second foot out and then you actually let go of the boat? And it's you and Jesus on the water. And it's totally everything in the world, everything in physics, everything that they ever taught you, the whole history of the world says what you're doing can't be done. Will you ever be the same? Even after the first step, will you ever be the same? Your realm of possibility, what is possible, just went up about a millionfold. My goodness. If His Word has enough strength to cause me to walk on the water, just what can't His Word accomplish? Just what is it His Word cannot accomplish? How much power is in His Word? Glory to God. Think about it. Will you ever be the same? You'd never be the same after that. And the reason He said, I do know what that's like, I remember. The first month. We stepped out of the boat. Now, it was not quite that bad, but we weren't physically walking on the water. We were economically walking on the water. Because it looked impossible to do what He said. It looked like a perfect recipe for failure. That was in 1996. This is 2000. What year is this? Oh, it's been 10 years. I got to tell you, there's been a few times when I began to look at the waves boisterous. Yep, Sue says. That was her for benefit of the tape. Yep. Sure enough, we began to sink and had to cry out for saying, Jesus, save me. And guess what? He did. And you know what? Then He comes and gets in the boat with you. First, He asks you to step out. I never did finish reading the verses. I know y'all know it, but look. Lion clock. Verse 29. So, verse 28, Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And by the way, Jesus is not over there praying and fretting and worrying and hoping that this will work. See, He's not trying to believe this gospel with you. He's already in the place called done. From Him, He's going, well, Peter, just step out of the boat. Of course this will. If I tell you to come, the Holy Spirit will enforce what I say and you'll be able to walk on the water. If I tell you to come, you can come. Because the Holy Spirit has got, the kingdom has been restored. The Holy Spirit is here. He has anointed my words. What I say comes to pass. If I say come, Peter, you can come. But see, your faith has a lot to do with that. Now watch this. So verse 29, he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. He did that which is impossible, to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Boy, how many times have I done that? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now, what was the key for Peter? Could Peter have walked all the way to Jesus? Two things that had to keep uppermost in his mind. Number one, He had to keep his eyes on Jesus. Not get his eyes to the right, to the left, looking at the circumstances. If you start doing that, if the devil can keep you in the arena of mental reasoning and emotions, he will defeat you every time. But if you can keep the devil over in the arena of faith, you will defeat him every time. Now, we did those messages called warring over your prophecies. Do a good warfare by the prophecies. Those are your words from Jesus to come. Most likely, what's in them, the world will say, is impossible. The words he's spoken to Sue and I, many of the things he said to us, the world would say, you can't do that. That's not the way you build a ministry. That's not the way you do anything. But we keep our eyes on him and on the word that he has spoken to us. I can't start looking at my mailing list. I can't start looking at getting my eyes on the bills coming in. I have got to walk. If I'm going to walk on the water, if I'm going to do... Where is Angie? I need that song, Walk on the Water. But if I'm going to walk on the water, you have got to keep your eyes on him and on the word that he has spoken to you. Do not start looking. All of those circumstances... This is Mark 4. Affliction, persecution, the winds and the waves boisterous, they all come for one reason. To choke the word. Well, what was the word in this case? Come. And Peter started doing it. He started looking at the circumstances as if the natural world has dominion over the words of Jesus. And if you believe that, you too will sink. That's okay, though. I mean, it's okay in this sense. Even if you're sinking and the devil's winning and you know the devil's winning. Hey, Jesus, save me. And I don't mean being born again. It means one of my favorite prayers in Psalms. Help now, Lord. That's a good prayer. Help now. Or like this. Jesus, save me. I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And he will. But the thing of it is, can you tell in Jesus' mind, it doesn't seem strange to walk on the water? I am ready for my worldwide international ministry. I am ready for prime time. Really? How renewed is your mind? Well, I have my mailing list, and I have all of my, and I'm not against natural planning now, but I'm just saying, I have all of my supporters lined up, and they've all pledged a certain amount, and I've been working at that for 5 years. When did he tell you to go? 5 years ago. Took me 5 years to get my natural resources lined up. That'd be like Peter saying, Lord, I'll come to you, we're going to start tearing some of these planks off, and I'm going to build a canoe. I'm going to build a canoe so I can come to you. That's called works. That's what man does. That's called man. We're trying to obey him, but we're trying to do it with some natural way that man can do. Jesus is not trying to reach the world with what you can do. I hope you get that. Jesus is not trying to reach the world with what you can do. He's trying to get us to be vessels that can reach the world through what he can do. Did you get anything out of that? See you in 30 minutes.